to episode 4 of the Landon Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
And I'm Landon's dad, Jeff. Thanks so much for listening to us on DolphinsTalk.com. Landon, season's getting closer. This week, as we record this on a Sunday night here in Southern California, is the start of preseason. What are you most excited about for the start, finally, of actual preseason Dolphins football?
Watching the Dolphins. I thought that was a rather easy question.
Well, it is an easy question, but I'm hoping that there's certain things in particular you're looking for. A lot of news came out of the first week of training camp. What are some things that kind of caught your eyes?
I saw the Dolphins doing something that I've wanted them to do since day one, and that is starting Xavien Howard. And he got a chance to do so, and he did good.
Yeah, he had a really good camp. He had first week of camp. He had one day where he picked off 3 Ryan Tannehill passes. So that's pretty exciting, don't you think?
Yeah, but that's also bad that Ryan Tannehill's throwing 3 interceptions.
Yeah, the offense seemed to have some issues. So the biggest thing to me, Landon, that I want to talk to you about is that the depth chart came out. The first time that the Dolphins put out a depth chart so far this season, what was the biggest surprise for you, or do you not care because it's so early in the season?
I don't care because it's so early in the season, and my fear is that someone's going to get injured and preseason or training camp, and it's all going to change.
Yeah, well, someone will get injured, and it definitely will change. I thought it was interesting that Mike Gesicki, the tight end who, by all accounts, has done very, very well so far for Miami, is the 5th-string tight end. I'm assuming that's not going to last.
I highly doubt that.
No, that probably would not be something we'd like to see. I also thought it was interesting that Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake were both listed as co-starters, which was interesting. And, that I don't think that's going to change, even though you're never going to know. And then also just the cornerback rotation, the starters opposite of Xavien Howard. They listed Bobby McCain as the starter with Cordea Tankersley and Torrey McTyre as second teamers, and Tony Lippett is the 3rd-teamer. I thought he would maybe be 2nd-teamer, but it's good that there's some depth there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. Some other things. Kalen Ballage, 4th-string running back. The wide receiving core, it's so crazy. I mean, Albert Wilson, listed as 2nd-teamer behind Kenny Stills. I think they're going to use this guy in crazy ways. I don't care where they put him on the depth chart. But overall, the rookies, clearly Adam Gase is showing that they're not going to be given jobs and they'll have to earn it, right?
Yeah. And so far, I think they're doing a pretty good job earning their spot and they're really working towards it.
Yeah, everything I read about Minkah Fitzpatrick, I get more and more excited every time I read something about him. Just there was a great article, I think it was Almando Soguero in the Miami Herald, wrote that the day that he signed his contract, instead of celebrating on South Beach, he took an ice bath, then he stretched, lifted weights, and then watched more film. That's pretty impressive.
I can't wait to see that man play for us.
Yeah, I think that maybe, if we're looking to replace some of the jerseys of some of these guys who've gotten either cut or traded by us, I think that both Minkah Fitzpatrick and Mike Gesicki could be in the running. If you have a thought on that, leave us a comment below here at DolphinsTalk.com as Landon looks to replace some jerseys with people who will actually be on the team.
Someone else who I think will be replacing jerseys is Jakeem Grant.
Yeah? Are you all in on Jakeem Grant?
I am.
I've liked Jakeem Grant from when I saw him at college play at Texas Tech because the guy just make plays. But so far, he's listed as the starting kick returner, the starting punt returner, and he's a 2nd-string wide receiver. I'm just hoping that we can figure out, 4 or 5 plays a game to put Kenyon Drake, Kenny Stills, Mike Gesicki, Albert Wilson, and Jakeem Grant out there together, because whoever gets the one-on-one coverage, those guys are playmakers and they should be able to get open.
I wouldn't even list Jakeem Grant on the depth chart as one position because he can take it off a jet sweep, he can take off a handoff, he can take it off a screen pass, he can take it off a deep ball, he can do anything.
All right. Well, before we get to more of the depth chart, because I got a couple other questions for you, my good buddy and coworker, hashtag Chad, who became hashtag dad over the weekend, was nice enough to give you a little gift. Why don't you tell our listeners about it and give them a preview of what you've been doing for the last 62 straight hours?
Madden 19.
That's right. He got a copy of Madden 19 a little bit early, so tell people about it. What do you like? Which Dolphins got rated properly and which ones needed a little work?
Xavien Howard was really low rated, which kind of bothered me, but I just went to his stats and edited him higher, so no worries there. But Mike Gesicki was among the higher rated tight ends, which I really liked. Minkah Fitzpatrick was starting as a corner, which was interesting to me, but that's starting TJ McDonald and Rashard Jones.
Yeah, well, you're going to start Rashad Jones for sure. I think you will start TJ McDonald. I just think you're going to end up playing three safeties most of the time.
I would agree, but that's just what Madden did.
All right. Anything else in Madden that was what's been the best plays? Who's kind of stuck out from a Dolphins standpoint?
Kenny Stills.
Yeah, what's he been doing for you?
He's been catching deep balls. I've been throwing a lot of screens to him, and Danny Amendola has caught just about every pass I've thrown to him.
Yeah, they've said it's been well documented that Danny Amendola has already developed chemistry with Ryan Tannehill. We just got to figure out how to keep him healthy. I would not play. I read somewhere that Tannehill said he's going to play against Tampa, and I really hope he doesn't. I hope Amendola doesn't play. Hope Frank Gore doesn't play. I hope any of these guys don't play. It just doesn't matter to me.
It really doesn't. Start Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, I don't even want them to play when you play them in Madden. I don't want them to get hurt in Madden. I don't want anything to happen to these guys. So who's been the best offensive performer outside of Kenny Stills for you?
Kenyon Drake and Jakeem Grant.
Okay, well, Jakeem Grant is tailor-made. Ooh, I hate saying that word. Is perfectly made for Madden because he's just so fast and so elusive.
Yeah. He's a great punt returner and kick returner, and in a couple of years he's developed.
All right, well. By next week, Landon, I want an in-depth report because we'll have one more week of shows before everyone can go buy this thing. Give them some tips, some plays that work well for the Dolphins. I know you spent a lot of time doing trades. You spent a lot of time watching Adam Gase stare at the computer as you wait for things to download. So you promising next week you'll be able to give people a full download on it?
I definitely will be able to.
All right. Well, let's get to a couple other things here as we're on episode 4 here of the Landon and Jeff Show on DolphinsTalk.com. I'm Jeff, and that is my 12-year-old son, Landon. Landon, we have not picked which game we're going to be attending, and that bothers me right now. A lot of it is because of your youth soccer schedule, so we need to kind of go through that. But as we look at the schedule, and I don't want to go through game by game, is there a team that you want to see more than the others?
I would like to see the opener. I think that's going to be a close game, and it'd be interesting because we've never done an opener.
No, we haven't done an opener. I just don't know if that's a good weekend for us. I'm pretty sure that's Labor Day weekend, and I'm pretty sure you have a soccer tournament. So that's going to make that challenging. So we'll have to figure that out. All right, well, we'll get to that, and hopefully by next week we'll have that dialed in as well. What do you think about the backup quarterbacks, the competition going on between Fales and Osweiler?
Hopefully, in a perfect world, it won't matter who wins that because Ryan Tannehill will start every game of the season. But I think Brock Osweiler is better than David Fales simply because he's had that position where he has to win a certain amount of games to make the playoffs, and he's done that for the Broncos in the year that they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure, we'll have to kind of check that out. All right, well, we got a couple other topics that I wanted to ask you about. The first one is, so give me your, because I just told you mine, with Ryan Tannehill and playing this preseason. How many times do you want to see him under center this preseason?
I want to see him twice on handoffs to Kenyon Drake. That's it.
The entire preseason? You don't want to see him throw any passes?
Well, like I'm saying, like two a game, and then maybe one like screen pass. Nothing where there's any risk of him being touched.
Okay, well, you're clearly not into I want to see a little more than that. I want to see in the third preseason game maybe a half. I just really don't want him to play any part of games 1 and 2. I especially game one. I do not want to see him out there.
I would ra much rather wait till week one to see what he can do than watch what in preseason where there's a chance of being injured. Because realistically, the coaches already know what he can do and the play calls that he and the plays he's really good at and the ones he's really not. There's no reason for him to play every game of preseason.
Yeah, the only thing that did concern me, and we obviously did not go to the scrimmage the other day, but I certainly read about it, and there were, by the count that I saw, six offensive pre-snap penalties. And that is something that drives me insane. You don't remember this, Lana, but I grew up with Coach Shula, and Coach Shula and those Dolphins teams were the least penalized teams in the league. And this just seems to be, we had a ton of penalties last year under Adam Gase. And I get it, that Coach Gase needs us to do certain things, but at the end of the day, what do you think about all these pre-snap penalties, and what are we going to do about it?
For one, you got it wrong. It was five, there's three false starts, an offsides, and a delay of game penalty.
How do you have a delay of game penalty in a scrimmage?
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like the defense is going to confuse you. It's your defense.
You can ask the coach what play they're running. And if you're
Well,
a
I
good.
guess you could. You probably shouldn't do that. But either way, you shouldn't be, getting schemed, or they shouldn't be doing a substitution pattern you haven't heard of. You shouldn't be worrying about your defense. You should be worrying about yourselves. You can't get delay of games.
I know you can't, and Adam Gase has said he's going to try and get the team to focus more on attention to detail. Will that happen before week one? I'm
Yeah,
not
but
sure.
haven't we been
Hopefully
saying
it
that
will.
for haven't we been saying that for 2.5 years? That every time we've a lot of penalties that we're going to work on it and attention to detail.
Yeah, we have. Hopefully this time it comes true, but honestly, I'm not sure.
All right. Well, that's something to me that is very, very concerning right now.
Five penalties can lose you a game.
Yeah, five penalties can easily lose you a game, and that is not something that I certainly want to see them continue.
Look at the Raiders a couple seasons ago. They weren't a bad team. They just had the most penalties by far.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. So we need to watch that, and we need to be able to keep track of that and make sure that we're fully understanding that these pre-snap penalties, maybe that's the one thing to look for in week one of the preseason, Landon, is just to make sure we don't have any penalties.
I will have a little like ding every time they get a preseason like pre-snap penalty with with the starters in.
Right.
I will do a little ding and I'll keep note of that for the podcast.
Well, I don't even think it's the starters. I don't want the backups to have pre-snap penalties. I don't want to have any of them. I read somewhere that Coach Gase said he's going to make them run, gassers if they commit pre-snap penalties. I think he should make them do it in the middle of the game. I think if they're playing the Bucs and if it's, third and 12, and if Sam Young is at the right tackle and he, commits a false start, the entire team right then and there should have to run a 100-yard gasser and back and then do the next play.
The only issue if that is, that'd be offsides because they'd be crossing the line of
Well,
scrimmage.
we'd have offsides, then we get to run again, and then we'd have delay of game because we wouldn't be ready in time. We'd run again. So each time they did a penalty, it would really turn into three penalties. And I think if they had to run that much, it would probably stop them, don't you think?
Yeah, but that'd only be in preseason because I don't care
I don't either. I
how
don't
much it
care at all
changes.
about preseason.
I don't want it ever happening in a regular season game.
All right. Well, that's a goal for us, is to try to eliminate some of these pre-snap penalties. All right, pal. Well, what else do you want to talk about before we wrap up episode four of the Landon and Jeff Show here on DolphinsTalk.com? We're finally getting close to where we can actually watch a game and talk about it.
Charles Harris. The two defensive ends were limited playing, and Charles Harris played, and he got two sacks in preseason, and he beat Lar
Well, in the scrimmage.
in the yeah, in the scrimmage, and he beat Laremy Tunsil twice, and he's one of our best offensive linemen, so you can look at it at 2 points. That's good for the defense, saying that we're going to have a great pass rusher in a couple of years, or you can look at it in the perspective of why is our offensive line giving up two plays where Ryan Tannehill could get injured.
Yeah, well, the good news is they wouldn't let him hit Tannehill, but yeah, that I tend to look at it both ways. I'm excited about Charles Harris. Everything I read about him is he's just a solid individual. What he did for his mom in the offseason is amazing. It's been well documented on these podcasts on DolphinsTalk.com, so we don't need to go there. But it's time for production. And if he's part of a three-man monster with him, Wake, and Quinn, that is going to be pretty amazing to see, and I hope it. At the same time, Laremy Tunsil, this guy was going to be the number one pick in the draft until he had that unfortunate for him incident, we'll see what happens from there.
And to me, one of the most satisfying things in a football game is getting a sack, and that doesn't always happen, so I'm excited for that to happen.
Yeah, no, there's nothing better than and then a great defensive sack, hopefully, on number 12 up from New England. That would be really, really great.
Definitely.
All right, Landon. Well, I don't think we have anything else to cover, do you?
Not really, no.
All right. Well, next week's an exciting week in the world of you and the Miami Dolphins. One on Thursday, you get to watch the first preseason game as the Dolphins take on the Buccaneers. And then secondly, after that, you get to go back to school.
Yay, school.
Well, good news is get all your homework done so we have time to record a podcast next Friday after the game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, pal, that's our final before they're actually playing podcast. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to be on once a week here on DolphinsTalk.com. And Landon, did I tell you that Mike and I discussed what our wager is going to be?
No, you have not.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to do our show one day a week, either Tuesdays or Wednesdays, whatever's better for your soccer schedule. We're going to be able to look back at the game that was. We're going to be able to look forward at the game that will be. And then we will pick three games against the point spread, three games we like the best, okay? Mike will do the same thing, and he will pick three games against the spread. And on our podcast, we will give the score and see who wins. And if we win, Landon, Mike is buying both of us Syracuse University hats, because I went to Syracuse, and Mike lives up in Syracuse. And if he wins, we are buying him one Syracuse hat. So the odds are in our favor, 2-1, right?
In theory, it should be.
All right, so get studying those point spreads. We spent the day to track today, so I guess we're really covering all efforts of gambling. But thanks so much for listening to us on DolphinsTalk.com. This has been the
Landon and Jeff Show.
All right, we'll see you next week, everyone.